Welcome, friends and family, guests and familiar faces, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. If this is your first time worshiping with us, our prayer is that you will feel welcome and at home here and come to be part of our life together. Please join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. as we encounter God's love and grace through scripture, music, prayer, and community life. And yes, we are open tomorrow. And now, let us open our hearts to receive the gift of God's love in Jesus. When the world was dark, and the city was quiet, you came. You crept in beside us, and no one knew. Only the few who dared to believe that God might do something different. Will you do the same this Christmas, Lord? Will you come into the darkness of today's world? Not the friendly darkness, but the fearful darkness, in which people have stopped believing that war will end, that food will come, or that the church cares. Will you come into the darkness and do something different? Will you come into the dark corners and the quiet places of our lives? We ask this not because we are guilt-ridden or want to be, but because the fullness of our lives long for depends upon us being as open and vulnerable to you as you were to us. When the world was dark and the city was quiet, you came. You crept in beside us. Do the same this Christmas, Lord. Do the same this Christmas. Amen.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. Light looked down and saw darkness. Peace looked down and saw war. Love looked down and saw hatred. So the Lord of Light, the Prince of Peace, the King of Love, came down and crept in beside us.
Thank you.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Thank you.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all of the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all the words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen as it had been told them.
Oh,
This Christmas season, I have noticed the high number of photo Christmas cards I've received with smiling faces of my family and friends. And I admit to being a little partial to the people who put some extra thought into being uniquely silly. But I haven't been able to convince my own children this would be fun. In fact, the exact opposite. They see the tree go up, the frilly dresses come out, camera in hand, and they run for the hills, knowing that I'm gonna make them stand still while I take dozens upon dozens of photos to get that perfect shot. Thank goodness for Photoshop. I can cut a little here, paste a little here, and come out with this softened, sepia-toned picture of perfection. Now, the Holy Family did not have the benefit of Photoshop, but that hasn't stopped our imaginations from picturing Mary in her glowing blue robe, gazing lovingly at her newborn child. Joseph, attentive to both of their needs, and shepherds gazing in wonder. Their charges, these puffy white balls of cotton in the background, and the rays of the angel's glory streaming through the windows. Of the, of course, well-swept and cleaned stable, with the strains of joy to the world in the background. It's a nice picture, beautiful even. It was one that was on quite a few Christmas cards I received. But as lovely and as cherished as this image is, We know it wasn't really like that. If you've ever been anywhere near a labor room, you know it's not meek and mild. No matter how beautiful, modern, or comfortable the surroundings are, in the best of circumstances, a woman's body still takes over. And it's painful, and it's loud, and it's messy. And then there's Joseph, crying uncontrollably, those tears of fear and relief and joy, all bundled up in one. And I still want to know, who are these smelly, scraggly-looking guys who show up with the sheep? You know that those sheep aren't bright white. Everything about this situation is too painful, too chaotic, too joyful, too unplanned, too beautiful, and too human to be anything but sacred. And I wonder, why do we Photoshop all of that? I suppose there's something to be said for the fact that day to day we struggle to keep pretty turbulent lives intact, to stem the tide of chaos that too often threatens to overwhelm us at home or at work or in the world at large. We get enough realism 364 days of the year. Is it too much to ask to come to church on this one day with the vision of something that is inherently, undeniably good and pure and perfect? I think it's a pretty understandable request. We put a lot of time and energy into managing things, controlling as many of the variables of our 21st century lives as possible. And frankly, we're pretty worn out by the effort. It's little wonder we come to church wanting not just a respite from the frantic pace of everyday life, but something more. Something comforting and comfortable. Something preferably warm, cozy, and inspiring. And so we devour Luke's nativity scene like it's a spiritual comfort food, chicken soup, as it were, for the beleaguered soul. Except that's not Luke's nativity scene. Luke also knows something about wanting to order chaotic lives. In fact, his story begins just there, naming up front the rulers who were responsible for maintaining and enforcing Roman rule. There at the beginning of the story, we are amid a census, in and of itself, an act of ordering, counting, registering, and don't forget taxing, everyone. But this is just the background for Luke. The main action takes place elsewhere. On the fringe, away from the centers of power, in a small town called Bethlehem, where a scared young girl and her equally scared husband-to-be can't find a decent place to birth their first child and are forced to take refuge with animals, with only dirty sheep and their shepherds to notice. Why does Luke tell this story in this way? Maybe even more pause is to give wonder to why does God tell this story in this way? I believe that God is calling account the way things are, that it's not good enough. It's almost like God is whispering to us that deep down, we know already but are afraid to admit, even to ourselves, these lives we've so carefully created, this world we've worked so hard to manage, are beautiful and precious and wonderful, but also vulnerable, fragile, and ultimately insufficient. And so God comes not to organize the world, not just to straighten things out a little bit, but in the midst of the chaos, to call the orders and structures of the day into question and herald a new beginning altogether. Ultimately, Luke's story, if we are willing to listen, witnesses to the simple yet scary fact that God didn't come in Jesus just to make things a little bit better, a little bit more bearable. God came to turn the tables over, to create a whole new system, to resurrect and redeem us rather than just rehabilitate us. And it is scary because we've invested our whole lives as they are, and that can be downright frightening to give up what we know. But at the same time, it's a little thrilling. Because this promise speaks to a place deep down inside of each of us that wants something more. Something more than a better job or higher income. Something more than a comfortable home or enjoyable retirement. These things are all good, but they don't save. And often enough, they don't even satisfy for long. We are desperately longing for a sense of meaning and purpose. And we desire to believe that there is more to this life than just meets the eye. We come to hold on to that hope that despite all appearances, we are worthy of love. And so God comes in the chaos of our lives to speak quietly but firmly through the blood, sweat, and tears of labor pains of a young mother, cry of her infant, that God is irreconcilably for us, joined to us through our ups and downs, our hopes, our fears, and committed to giving us not just something more of the same, but something more. Christ comes not to just give us more of the life we already know, but new and abundant life altogether. For in Christ we have the promise that God will not stop until each of us, all of us, have been embraced and caught up in God's tremendous love and have heard the good news that unto you this day is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. No wonder we sing joy to the world. Amen.
Let us pray. God of the universe, we come before you with hearts gladdened by this holy birth. In the cry of an infant, you have given hope to all who cry. By the light of a star, you have helped us find our way again. Continue, O God, to guide us. Be born in us today. Renew our spirits and strengthen us to be your people. As we hear the familiar sacred story and sing beloved carols, may we, like the shepherds, hear the good news of amazing possibilities. In your light, we know that longings can become belongings. Visions can become reality. The world can be a place where people work together for the good of all, and wars are no more. Show us ways to be hope-filled people, so that we believe and live in the light of possibilities, so that the dark corners of grief and illness, war and poverty, loneliness and despair, conflict and discord can be filled with new beginnings of expectant joy. As we gather for Christmas celebrations, we give you thanks for family and friends with whom we share this season, and we give you thanks for loved ones in our lives who have been part of our Christmas past, but who are now enjoying life eternal. May the emptiness of their presence be filled with the comfort that they are with you. Fill our hearts this evening, O God, with the meaning of the Christmas season. May we leave as people wondering how we can reflect the Christ child in all that we do and all that we are. Amen.
Tonight we come with our hopes and our dreams. We come offering our lives and bringing our gifts. Tonight's offering will go toward the ongoing Green Island Basic School construction project in Green Island, Jamaica. You can read more about that mission partnership in your bulletin. Let us now, with joy, offer our gifts. Together for the Christmas liturgy that is printed in your bulletin. On the eve of Christmas, hatred will vanish. On the eve of Christmas, the earth will flourish. On the eve of Christmas, war will be gone. On the eve of Christmas, love will be born. When we offer a glass of water to a thirsty person, it is Christmas. When we clothe a naked person with a gown of love, it is Christmas.
When we wipe the tears from weeping eyes,
it is Christmas.
When the spirit of revenge dies in me,
it is Christmas.
When in my heart I no longer want to stay apart,
it is Christmas.
When I am buried in the being of God,
it is Christmas. Indeed, it is Christmas, as the true light which enlightens everyone was coming to the world. And we may not feel like that light shines in us bright enough to shine in the darkness of the world, but that just speaks to our need for community. And so we gather from the light of Christ, individually, together, in community. And so as the flame makes its way around, I invite for you to be singing, humming, starting off humming Silent Night. And when all the candles have been lit, we will sing the words that are printed in your bulletin together. Let us shine as Christ's light together. light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it, proclaims the ancient word. Light stands firm against the dark landscape of reality, each of us holding a flickering candle, seemingly insignificant one by one, yet magnificent when we hold them together. And so each of us make a choice to stand in the light, proclaiming the indisputable presence of an unquenchable light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And we go into the world to shine with the light, to proclaim the joyous birth of Jesus Christ. Alleluia. Amen.